This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Man, 150 people here today. I love it. I love it. We have to choose to rejoice and be glad in the day that He has given us. There's a young man in the Free Methodist Church that passed away 2 weeks shy of his 98th birthday. Yes, that's a young man. And what a saint this guy is. And as I read his obituary, I thought, this man and his wife celebrated just over 70 years of marriage together. They were in ministry together. They started the Midwest City Church, started several churches. And their years of ministry was a conference superintendent for over 15 years, years ago. But still attended church and just recently moved after his wife passed away a few years back. Recently moved with his son out of state. But I thought, what a life and a legacy this man has left behind. He built the house behind the Midwest City Church. It was the parsonage. He built that. And there were some little things. People were like, what happened here? He said, that's where he messed up on measuring. It had this bigger closet plan, but it turned into a small little kind of just space about this big. He mismeasured. But he built that house for the church. And I thought, that's what I want, is to leave a legacy of things that I have done. Not to say, hey, here's accolades to this person, but have we made a difference? And this guy, two weeks shy of his 98th birthday, definitely made an impact for kingdom work in his life. So we have to choose to rejoice in the day that He has given us, no matter what we face. And Kish, I'm glad you mentioned the mountains. I recently read a story about a mountain climber. It was the first guy that was blind to ever climb Mount Everest. He said, there's three groups of people that almost everybody falls into. Quitters, campers, and climbers. And he said, man, you don't want to be a quitter. Woo! Look at the mountain He's given us. Let me just walk away. And the Bible has stories of quitters. Churches are filled with empty seats of quitters. Now some are campers. That means we go and we say, oh, let's go. Come on, everybody follow me. We're going to do this. Whew, that is a lot of work. We can't press on. Let's just camp here. And they camp there and they never go any further. God doesn't call us to be campers either. He calls us to climb in the face of our adversity. Now, this guy also said, sometimes when we choose to do that, we bring adversity on ourselves, whether we mean to or not. So we've got to remember, as climbers, as those that face mountains, this cross is a representation of the man that gave us the strength to climb the mountains. He's given us energy and He has given us possibilities. All things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. He's gone to the cross to give us that strength and give us the ability. And He's already fought the battle of the enemy. And sometimes our enemy is where? Right up here. Sometimes it's in our heart. Sometimes it's in our mind. Sometimes it's just in our souls. But He wants us to be lights and beacons for others that are in darkness. That when they're in darkness, they say, I see you. All right. Luke chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 2. And it says, and the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Just wandering around, and the word of God came to him. And those of us that God has spoken to, He'll do it in strange places sometimes. But John was in the wilderness, and the word of God came to him. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And then it says in verse 7, then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized with him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, Well, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit, notice it says that, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered them, and he said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your own wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was a Christ or not, John answered and said to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people, but Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John in prison. When all those people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Boy, when you get into that genealogy, it can be a bit much. church is meant to be good, isn't it? And we can laugh. Oh, I love that. Where was I? Tell us who they were, the sons of who? When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened up. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now, as we look at John, you know, the other scriptures say, hey, he was wearing this big crazy coat made out of fur and stuff, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And they picture him just kind of like this crazy guy hopping through the wilderness. And maybe he was, I don't know. But his message was pretty simple. So as we look at his ministry, his message, and his view of Jesus, it's pretty simple. And it starts out with the statement from Isaiah. And that basically was a proclamation or an announcement, if you will, preparation for the king coming. In the olden days, when kings were coming, they'd send someone out ahead of them, and they'd say, hey, prepare the way. It gave the town and the people of that area an opportunity to smooth out the road, to remove the bumps in the road so that the king could have a smoother ride in. And I thought, interesting enough. And he says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God in verse 6. The king was coming, and John had been given the opportunity to proclaim that the king was coming and warn people about his coming time and what was coming with that. His ministry is pretty simple in verse 2 and 3. It just says, while he was in the wilderness, the word of God came to John. And then he went out and he preached all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, this is a different baptism than Jesus was coming to baptize in. And as he did this ministry, think in the Bible stories. All those people God called upon, and the Word of God came to him. Did the Word of God come to, we studied Wednesday night in Ground Zero, Jonah? And what did Jonah do? You want me to go this way? Yes. Okay. I'm going that way. But as we studied Wednesday night in the book of Jonah, it said, and God spoke to him again. God is a God of second chances as well. Now, we know that he spent a couple days in the belly of a whale, right? Or a large fish, you know, for those that want to break it down. Say, it wasn't really a whale. We weren't there. So I'm going to leave it as a whale. I remember that as a kid, and it doesn't really matter. He spent several days in the belly of a giant fish. So when we are disobedient, there can be consequences. God gave him a second chance. There were consequences. He had to spend time in the belly of a whale and be thrown up by that whale. So we want to respond immediately. When God calls us, and we may not have clarity, but we need to respond immediately when God calls us. Unless God says, I'm calling you, but you're not ready yet. I need you to prepare. We have to listen to him and be open to what he's telling us. Oh my goodness, here's my ministry. I have to go. I'm going to preach a baptism of repentance. Now, when you look at John's message, it becomes a little different. His message was a message of repentance, preparing your heart and your mind and your soul for the upcoming Jesus. But if you look at verse 7 through 14, he's upset. The multitudes came and they were baptized by him. But he said, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? How did they know? He's upset because he said, you were baptized. That's an outward thing that you did. But man, inside you're still a little messed up. You're not changing your ways. The outward motions didn't impact the inward actions. And the inward attitude, or your actions didn't impact the inward attitude that you had. We've got to think about that. Have we accepted Christ? What is the difference in our life? Have we been baptized for the remission of sins? What was the difference or the impact that made on our life? What have you done since then? What is the impact? I attend church every week. What is it like the other 6.5 days of the week in your life? Is it dark? Is it light? Is it crazy? What do we do? John said, man, God spoke to me and he gave me a calling and here's what I'm going to do. And he also told me someone's coming behind me that's greater than me. I can easily say someone's coming behind me and he or she will be greater than me. That's not hard to tell. But man, he said someone else is coming. He told them, guys, be warned. The Messiah's coming. I love the old rock gospel Godspell. I wore that album out. So much so I went and bought two more to pawn shop years ago. Now we have YouTube and I get to listen to it. I wrote a play when I first came to this church based on some of the music and the scriptures from Godspell. I said, I want to do that someday. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I enjoyed listening to it. It says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that's what John's ministry was, to prepare others for the coming Jesus. His message was, my goodness, be baptized for the remission of sins. But he's also upset now when he talks about his message. He says, but you can't just do it as an outward thing. Church, we cannot be outward Christians only. That old hymn. Outward Christian soldier. No, it's onward Christian soldiers. We cannot be the outward Christian soldiers and have the inward part be a mess. Because the inward Christian is what impacts others. It's what they see as a difference in our life. Because our attitude is different. Our language is different. The way we speak to them is different. He says, you've got to be different. And then the people asked, said, what do we need to do? Hey, if you have two and someone's got none, pretty simple math. Give them one Oh, and if they don't have food and you have two, give them one. Help them out. What about the tax collectors? He said, take only what is due you. They used to like to line their pockets a little bit. Well, they need to pay me for my effort, so I'll add a little extra. That's why people didn't like him. He said, take only what is due you. You know, I am thankful that I work for a man of integrity at my work. And he said to me years ago, he said, I'll take every dime owed me, but I will never take a penny more. He said, we will run an ethical business. We will not do business like this company or that one or do what these people did. He said, I'm an ethical man and our business will always be run in an ethical manner. Any opportunity that says something is different, he has no part of that. He cuts that loose. We have to do the same. If there are unethical things, we have to cut ourselves free of those things because they will drag us down. When we look at these things, the tax collectors, what is take only what is due. And then the soldiers come up. What do I do? His message was simple to them as well. Hey, quit intimidating people. By the way, quit falsely accusing them. And by the way, be happy with the wages that you are getting. Accept what is yours. Don't do more. Don't take more. Don't embellish the truth and falsely accuse people. But don't forget also his message for those that thought, oh, I'm a child of Abraham. I'm going to heaven. Woo-hoo! I found my salvation. It took me a while to figure out that even though my father was a pastor, I wasn't getting to heaven on his preaching robe. And I thought I was. There was a point in time in my life I had to make that decision for myself. He says in verse 8, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. He said, you don't get to claim Abraham is your key, is your golden ticket. It has to be personal. It has to be individual. It has to be on your own. Genealogy doesn't matter. Now, John's view of Jesus is pretty simple. He comes down and he says, hey, in verse 15 and 17, he says, now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was a Christ or not, he made it clear. He could have said, let's just make them think that I'm him. And he could have been strutting around that place saying, they think I'm the Savior. This is my gravy train. What can I get for that? What can I do? What can I have them do for me? Maybe they'll treat me like the king. He didn't do that. John answered. He didn't just tell a few. It says, and he told all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's stop there for a minute. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is coming. That's His first coming. And the fire is the fire that He's going to come with in His second coming. And it says His winnowing fan is in His hand. And He will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather the wheat into His barn. But the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. They'd have those big shovel rake type things. Throw that up in the air and let the stuff blow away so they're catching just the good stuff. And they burn the old stuff, the stuff that they didn't need. We have two references here. One where it says in verse 9, therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then here where it says, he will gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Church, make no mistake about it. We think, well, his second coming isn't now. I don't need to worry about it. What a poor mentality. Bible tells us also, hey, if His grace is all this and His mercy is all this, do we just sin more because His grace abounds all around us? What a poor mentality. That's not what He's saying. He says we have a second coming that we're all going to face. And we have to come before our Savior. We have to answer for our actions and our words. But He says here, it'll be burned in the fire. The tree will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now in verse 21 it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And again, He had to make it known, I'm not the Savior. I'm not the Christ. Let me make sure you understand, I'm not claiming to be Him. He's still coming. And when He came, He was the one that got to baptize Him. Could you imagine that? Eric, how'd you like to baptize Jesus? I held him down too long. Oops, I forgot to pick him up. I slipped it. Whatever, I'd be scared to death. And it says, while He prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And a voice from heaven cried out and said, you are My beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And then Jesus moves on in His ministry. And John faced beheading later on in his. But that was his basic ministry message in view of Jesus. And I thought, what in the world does that have to do with us? How do we compare these things? We have to look at our life. And we have to compare and say, what are we doing? Where's the comparison? When we look at the disciples, it's the same thing. When He called them, when He calls us, they dropped their nets and followed Him immediately. What did we do when He called us? Some of us waited years and years to respond to Him constantly calling us. I love looking at the Bible saying, now where do I fit into that? That's challenging sometimes. And sometimes you don't like the answer you get. Like, oh, dang it. Okay, I didn't do well in this situation. I didn't do well this week. So when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves, what is my ministry? What is my ministry? Do I have one? What is my message? What is my message to other people? And what is my view of Jesus? Three very different things. What is my ministry? What is my message? And what is my view of Jesus? Now maybe you can't answer all three of those. So you know, oh, my ministry is this. This is my message. And this is what I think of Jesus. But if you don't know and can't answer that, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Eric. Talk to someone that you can trust to say, I don't know what my ministry is. We have a test that we can give you for your gifts, and that helps direct you. But what is your message? What are you telling other people? You may say, I don't talk to people. What are you telling them when you're around them? Your actions. Your behavior. What is my view of Jesus? I don't know much about Him. I mean, I get this gospel thing, but I really don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer that. That's a big one. And what is our view of Jesus? John the Baptist knew who He was, and we may not know, but we have to know He's important enough that we better give Him some attention. As we go out this week, I want you to focus on, what is my ministry? What is my message to others? Really, I need to solidify, what is my view of Jesus? What do I think of Him? That's a challenge for some of us. But we have to start thinking and then start responding to that. We can't be like the one that John talked about. You got baptized and then you just kept on doing stuff like normal. He calls us to a greater thing. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I ask you this week just to help stir in us. Stir in us a thought process that says, what is my ministry, Lord? I want to have a ministry. Lord, I want to have a message. Lord, I may not be able to stand on a street corner and tell people about it, but I want to have a message. I want people to know something is different about me when I walk in a room. And when they ask, I want to be able to tell them about it. But Lord, more importantly, when they ask me, I want to be able to tell them about Jesus. And we just pray, if you don't know what those answers are, that you get with Pastor Eric or myself. And we can help formulate that for you. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.